On behalf of all of us here at Convoy of Hope and everyone we've been able to help in 2013, thank you for partnering with us to bring help and hope to so many people this past year. On all fronts, 2013 was another amazing year. And here's a quick recap of what we were able to accomplish because of your help and your support. We expanded our children's feeding initiative, and we're now providing nourishment and much more to more than 145,000 children in 11 countries. That's an increase of more than 19,000 children this year alone. Now together, we responded to 15 major disasters in the United States and around the world, including the full-scale response in places like Moore, Oklahoma, and then the devastating typhoon that hit the Philippines. We continue to conduct dozens and dozens of community outreaches across the nation. And this year, more than 118,000 honored guests came to those outreaches and enjoyed bags of groceries, free haircuts, shoes, health services, family portraits, and so much more. We were also able to expand our agriculture initiative and our women's empowerment programs. In Haiti, for example, we were able to pilot that agriculture initiative, and we saw more than 1.2 million meals grown by farmers in Haiti alone. These meals are now being used to help feed families and children right there in Haiti. In Ethiopia, women enrolled in our Women's Empowerment Program saw a 240% increase in their income. By teaching women basic learning and business skills, we are enabling them to provide food and shelter, health care, education, clean drinking water for their own children. None of this would have been possible without you and the over 40,000 volunteers who joined with us in disaster zones. They joined with us in community outreaches in the field. Many even came to our own distribution center where they sorted food and supplies. All told, in 2013, Convoy of Hope served more than 7.9 million people around the world. That's about equal to the populations of Colorado and Nevada combined. And it's been 20 years since Convoy of Hope was founded, and we've been on the front lines of relieving human suffering in more than 100 countries. We couldn't have done any of this without you, our faithful and generous friends. Thank you so much for believing in this organization. Thank you for partnering with us. And on behalf of all those millions receiving help, thank you so much. And we look forward to partnering with you again in 2014 to do even more good.
Thank you for setting this up, this wonderful day in the history of your church and in the history of Convoy of Hope. On behalf of Hal Donaldson, who you saw on the video, and the rest of the Convoy team, thank you so much for partnering with us. Today, you'll be challenged to give a day's pay. For some of us in this room, that will be a sacrifice. You're giving out of your need to help people with a greater need. We realize that, and we are so thankful for that. But I want you to know that you're not giving to Convoy of Hope. You're giving through Convoy of Hope to meet needs around the world. Convoy of Hope, as you saw from that video, just short of 8 million people were served last year. 9,000 less than 8 million people. That's a lot of folks. When I came to Convoy of Hope, up in 8 years' time, had ministered to 2.3 million people. Then a pastor had an idea of this one day to feed the world where people would give a day's pay. Okay, from 2.3 million people in 8 years to 8 million last year, but also we have ministered to 69 million people globally in 116 countries in 20 years now. That's a lot of folks. Yeah. And it's because of people like you who partner with Convoy. It's like pastors, like your pastor, who lead their congregations in acts of compassion like this. I'm going to ask a question. How many of you have ever gone through a tough time? Raise your hand. Those of you not raising your hands, hang in there. It'll happen. We all go through tough times. In fact, Jesus said you will face trials, tribulations, tough times, but never fear, for I have overcome the world. And if you've been in life for more than 10 minutes and more than a few years as a believer, you recognize quickly that tough times can craft your character. It can make you brash, insecure, and bitter, or the tough times could make you better. It's how we learn how to handle those tough times. There are some secrets that I found that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And I've got my scripture device here. I'm going to read a few verses, then talk about it, then read a few more. There's a secret here. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Okay, we have been justified through faith. Justified means that we are in right standing with God, and not by ourselves, but God did that. Aren't we grateful for that? We're justified. I heard one time, it's just as if we never sinned, but it's more than that little quip. It's a bigger deal. We're okay now. We're made right. And there's a number of people that came to church today. You didn't need another song. You didn't need another sermon. You needed to get right with God. Okay? And that's what being justified is. We make things right with God. There's something between us and God, and we make it right. And His Holy Spirit convicts us and said, come on home, get right with me. And a lot of times, we face adversity and tough times because of the improper choices we make. We choose to live life our way. And we create our own dilemmas and problems. And even our family has to suffer the consequences from wrong choices, right? And sometimes we need to just get right with God so we won't face any more problems. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ as a result, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. When you're going through a tough time, there's a big secret here. Never, ever, ever forget who you belong to. And that's Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of your faith. So often, the problem arises and we get our eyes on the problem. That's the work of the enemy. He wants to get your eyes off of Jesus. He wants to mess you up. He wants to make that problem seem like an impasse. I can't get past this. And sometimes, what will happen is we'll turn a molehill into a mountain. You ever seen somebody like that? They go from one crisis to the next to the crisis, crisis, crisis. They become crisis-oriented because they get rattled. And I tell you what, our enemy would like to deter our focus away from God and onto our problem. And sooner or later, we get into these pity parties that no one wants to be a part of. And we get into relationship problems because we don't handle one crisis well. We carry our problems with us to the next reaction problem. And we react to people differently, and we create another problem because we aren't dealing with things properly. Tell you what, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. That's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15. Make Jesus the leader of your life, especially when we face tough times. Refocus our energy on God. Keep our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. And maybe through a tough time, He's perfecting our faith. And sometimes He uses adversity to make Himself known, not only to us, but those around us. It's kind of amazing. There's another passage right here. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Paul said it this way in Philippians. When he was in prison, he said, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. You know what? It's wonderful to be around somebody who's thankful and joyful. Isn't that a blast? to be around somebody that's positive, even when they're facing adversity? Isn't that a big deal? It's amazing. Joyful, joyful. There's a thing in the Bible that says, thank God for all things. You think about that. That's almost cruel when someone's going through a tragedy. I mean, a major crisis, the loss of a relative or close loved one. Major adversity. It's cruel to say, you need to be thankful for this. No. There's another part in the Bible that talks about this. In all things, give thanks. There's a secret. There's a secret when you're in the middle of a major problem. Remain thankful. And when I'm going through a tough time, I must remain thankful in God. I've had adversity in my life that the only thing I could say was Jesus. Jesus. He's my anchor. He's my rock. Wow. When you're going through a tough time, remain thankful. Because if you remain thankful, Lord, thank you for being as close as the mention of your name. Thank you that I can come to you in this adversity. Thank you that you hold me in the span of your hand. Lord, thank you that you could still calm storms today. And I ask you, oh God, say, peace be still to my storm today. Thank God that in the middle of adversity, that we can be thankful in Jesus. In the middle of a storm, we can just call on him and say, God, I fix my eyes on you. You are the author and definitely the perfecter of my faith. Let me tell you, when you walk through adversity, you remain thankful, you won't get bitter. And who knows, down the road, that when people observe you going through tough times, they will say, how come you have such a good attitude? Well, I guess I was just raised right. No, that's the wrong answer, okay? In the fact that the Bible says, in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. And always be prepared to give an answer for the reason of the hope that you have within you. But do this with gentleness and respect. That's 1 Peter 3:15. Memorize that. It's a good verse to pray through and to live out. 1 Peter 3:15. But it goes on to say here, yeah, we rejoice in our sufferings. Because it goes on to say, because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Perseverance, that's a foreign word nowadays. To persevere is like not really vogue because when the going gets tough anymore, we're out of here. As long as it feels good, I'm sticking around. Sometimes we shortchange the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, that maybe he's working on us in the middle of adversity, in the middle of a problem. You've heard somebody say, that guy just rubs me the wrong way. Well, maybe it's because you have a wrong way. Sometimes God uses people to become sandpaper to us to take off the rough edges. We leave jobs, we leave relationships, we leave marriages. We'll even go to a different church. I'm going to that church because they don't have any problems. They do now. Sometimes we take our problems with us because we circumvent the work of the Holy Spirit who is working in our hearts with our attitudes. And sometimes God uses adversity to change us. Perseverance, when it grows and we stick it out, it affects our character. It develops character. It's a maturation process. Perseverance brings character. It'll bring one of two characters, a bad character or a good character. That's what crisis does in an individual. It makes us bitter or better. If we learn how to persevere, what kind of character are we going to get? We're bullheaded. We're not going to quit. No. is the character of Jesus. That's what we want. The fruit of the Spirit. Character, when it grows in our lives. Life is not about me. I'm not the focus of me. The kingdom of God is not about me. Church is not about me. My job is not about me. My marriage is not about me. It's about others. The more Christ-centered we become, the more other-centered we become. The more passion we have for Jesus, the more compassion we have for others. God's love moves in us and through us. The greater love we have for Jesus, the greater love we're going to have for those we love the most, for those that are unlovely. Character, when it grows, we're going to have hope. Hope, in this context, in this verse, is not maybe or I wish it would happen. Hope in this context is great expectation, a great confidence something will happen. For a believer who has their hope in Jesus, it is an absolute. I know God will see me through this. And it's not automatic. It's not just going to happen. You develop that confidence and assurance and absolute confidence in God because you suck it out and develop perseverance. It developed in you. It's part of your character. It's part of your faith and obedience in God that He is developing you to have an amazing, tough faith, that your hope is in Jesus. That's why Paul said, I rejoice in my sufferings. Why? Because I'm becoming more like Jesus. And I close with this illustration. I know we got about 3 more minutes in this service than we did the last service because we don't have to beat the Baptist to the buffet. But anyway, the person who works with silver or gold is back in history, or throughout history, actually refines the gold or silver by putting the silver or gold rocks into a pot and refine it over a fire. And they crank up the fire and anything that was silver and gold or shiny disappears because it turns to liquid and you look over the edge of the pot and you can't see the gold. All you see is scum. They call it dross. And they remove the dross. It's called the refiner's process. They remove the dross and from the gold or silver, and they do this over and over again. The hotter the fire, anything that isn't gold or silver, pure gold or silver, comes to the surface. And the goldsmith can tell it's pure gold or silver by looking over the edge of the pot. They don't see the scum anymore, but they can see their own reflection. I believe God, if we allow Him to, will use adversity to refine us. We're put in this pot called life, and sometimes we go through heated up times, and we're a growing Christian, and man, I tell you what, that guy just rubs me the wrong way, and it'll come to the surface. Sometimes through anger, through a pity party, or whatever we do in adversity, it comes out, and anything that isn't like Jesus comes to the surface. And the Bible says, for all have scummed and fallen short of the glory of God. For the penalty or wages or payoff of scum is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. If we confess our scum, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our scum. And He will purify us, wash us, cleanse us from all unrighteous scum. And He looks over the edge of your life. Does He see you or me? Hopefully not. Hopefully He'll see His own reflection. And that's what we want, right? Yeah. Our life is all about glorifying God. But when the scum is there, His glory can't radiate from our life. So when we become justified through faith, it's an amazing process. But sometimes we go through adversity so they become more like Jesus. And let me tell you, when you become more like Jesus, you do life like Jesus does. And Jesus' life was all about, and you read through the Bible, Whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. Whatever you don't do to the least of these, you do to me. Not for me or unto me, but to me. So today, we're going to love on Jesus. And we're going to care about the things that are close to God's heart. Why? Because we know we have our own problems. We have our own adversity, but life is not about us. But the thing is, we've gone through these adverse things in life and the things to come so that we would be refined gold, but also we can be a greater witness of Jesus and reflect him. A reflection of Jesus today is to take care of the poor, the hungry, the widows, the orphans, the marginalized, the disenfranchised, and the people who don't know Christ around the world. I have such a burning passion for Jesus that I'm going to have compassion for people who need God's help, who need God. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord, and always be prepared to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within you. But do this with gentleness and respect. God bless you.